Well, good evening. Once again, it's good to see you. Good to see all who have gathered out for this gospel service. And can I ask you to just sing with us the hymn number 67 as we begin our gospel service. We want to think, of course, of Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing hymn number 67, which tells us, "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it where then where'er you go." And once again, we'll stand to sing this hymn. Just bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. We'll ask the Lord once again to come and to join with us in this meeting tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do continue on into your presence. Lord, we are thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once again, Lord, we are mindful that it is only through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission of sins. And so, therefore, Lord, we preach him. Lord, we thank you for even the grace in our own lives. Those who are gathered here tonight who are saved by grace, they're saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, we praise you for that day and hour where you met us at the point of our need. You showed us Christ and you saved us. Lord, we are mindful, as the hymn reminds us, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And so therefore we come tonight once again at this gospel meeting and we preach the gospel and we preach Christ unashamedly. He is the one who can meet the sinner's need, and he is the one who can save them, not just for now, for time, but for all eternity. And Lord, we do ask and we do pray for those even who may be gathered in this meeting tonight and they're outside of Christ. Lord, you know the heart. Lord, even you know the heart more than we know our own hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that for all of us, you would meet us at the point of our need, but especially for the sinner tonight, that you would especially draw near to them, convict and convince them of their sin and their need of a Savior. And Lord, we are mindful that we all have those family members. We all have those friends, Lord, we've long prayed for, and still they're outside of Christ. They may not be in any meeting tonight within the four walls of a church, but Lord, we thank you that you're not confined to any church or four walls. Lord, you can meet them right where they're at. And Lord, we just ask that whether they're sitting in their homes, driving the car, wherever they might be, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would draw alongside them. And Lord, give them hearts of flesh to receive the gospel. Maybe it's a verse that they've known from childhood. Maybe it's a message they've heard before. But Lord, just convict them of that message of the saving grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right where they're at. Lord, we pray that you would even work through this meeting tonight. We've prayed in the prayer meeting, and we pray once again that this meeting would be accompanied by the Holy Spirit. Lord, what a waste of time it would be to meet here without him. And so, Lord, we seek him. We plead before the throne of grace tonight that you would send him amongst us tonight. And Lord, that we would know that we have met with him. Lord, may what we learn, may our theology, all that we read of in Scripture, may it not just go to the head, but Lord, may it be a heart knowledge tonight. May we experience the word being applied to our hearts here in this meeting. Of course, we wouldn't just pray for ourselves. We are mindful of those other places throughout the country where the faithful word of God is being preached. And we just ask that you would accompany your word wherever that might be preached. And Lord, may it all go forth with power. Once again, we pray for this congregation, not only for its leaders, for the committee, and for the elders. We do pray for them. We ask that you give them great wisdom in their oversight. But Lord, we pray for each member. And we ask that you would even encourage them all in their faith. Build them up, Lord. And may them, as we've been thinking this morning, may they all shine forth as lights for the sake of Christ. Lord, encourage them and within their families, within their friend circles. Bless them, even where they're at. And we ask, Lord, that you would help them to go into the highways and the byways and compel others to come to Christ. And Lord, we do ask again for the pastor here, for Mr. McMillan. We thank you once again for his testimony and his witness in this place. And we just ask that wherever he might be right now, that you would encourage him in his walk with his Savior. And Lord, so we continue on in your presence now. As we say amen, we pray that your presence would continue with us and that all would be done in this meeting for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 203, if we could sing that hymn. Hymn number 203. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Love lifted me. Let's sing it out again, and let's stand once more to sing. Thank you. once again, can I maybe ask our brother Billy if he would come and give the necessary announcements, please?
We welcome everyone to our evening gospel service, and if you're visiting with us, we give you a special welcome. And we give a special welcome again to our preacher, Mr. David McCauley, from the Ballymoney congregation, and he is a third year student at the Whitfield College of the Bible. We enjoyed his message this morning on the spiritual significance of the menorah. Now, the announcements for the rest of the week. Wednesday, 8 p.m, the midweek meeting. This will be a missionary deputation. Reverend Craig Dennison will give a report and show a presentation on the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society. An offering will be taken at the close of the service for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Friday evening is the Sunday school outing to Airtastic Trampoline Park at Craigavon, and afterwards McDonald's. The bus will be leaving the Orange Hall at 6 p.m. Next Lord's Day, the 29th of May, 10:40 a.m. the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m. morning service, 6 p.m. the prayer meeting, 6:30 p.m. the evening service. Preacher of both services would be the Reverend McMillan. The annual offering for the Whitfield College of the Bible will be taken next Lord's Day. Place your gift in an envelope and mark it for the college offering. Our mass show will be on Saturday the 11th of June, and we are planning to have a stand again at the show this year for outreach. If you can help on the stand at some stage through the day, please put your name on the list in the porch beside the time that will suit you. If you'd like to give a gift to help cover the cost of this outreach, that would be much appreciated. There will be a congregational meeting of the church on Wednesday, the 1st of June, at 8 p.m. The purpose of the meeting is to adopt the two documents required for our congregation to register with the Charity Commissioners of Northern Ireland, and to vote on as property holding trustees those elders who have not yet been appointed to that position in the congregation. We ask as many communicant members as possible to be present at that meeting. Copies of the two documents to be adopted are available in the porch of the church. There's one copy per family for each of the communicant members. We ask that the communicant members take the document and read it before the night of the congregational meeting. Any questions regarding the document must be asked before the night that the vote takes place. As a congregation, we were greatly saddened to learn of the death of John Watson on Wednesday evening. John had a long battle with ill health over recent years. He was just 63 years of age, but we rejoice that he is with the Lord. We want to extend to his wife Hilda and three sisters, Evelyn, Dorothy and Amy, and the whole family circle our deepest sympathy and assure them of our prayers at this sad time.
Thank you for giving the announcements and for once again welcoming me into the congregation here. And I must say, I enjoyed the service this morning, fellowshipping with you and the conversations after. And I know I mentioned that I was going to Uganda this morning, and I kind of feel like you're trying to get me acclimated to the temperature, because as you can see, I'm rubbing my brow a lot. It's quite warm up here, but we'll get through. I appreciate the effort, though, you're putting in. But If you have your Bibles with you, can you please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, please? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And the verse 1. And we'll read from verse 1 until verse 8, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Amen. Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's just once more bow our heads, please, in a word of prayer. Lord God, once again, we bow humbly and reverently into Your presence. Lord, we thank You once again for Your Word. Lord, we recognize that the time that we have, it is a gift. And so, Lord, we ask that even in this meeting tonight, that time would be spent well in Your presence. And so, Lord, undertake for me as I seek to preach the Word. Give of Your Holy Spirit, both for me and for the hearer. In Jesus' name, once again, we ask. Amen. Now, we've read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 there, and while I will refer to it in just a moment, what I actually want to do, really, is to use the chapter to jump into something of a Bible study with you. And to do that, we will be looking at other selected scriptures. But the chapter that we've read there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it introduces a very interesting concept to us, and it is the concept of time. And when you think about it, when you think about life, you'll come to realize that life really is all about timing. When you want to meet up with your friends, you ask them, well, what time do you want to meet up? When you make an appointment with the doctor or the dentist, you're going to have to ask for a time. And you can be late for that appointment, you can be early for it, or you can simply be on time. Even in daily tasks such as cooking your dinner, if you don't keep your dinner in the oven long enough, it's not going to be cooked. If you keep it too long in there, it's going to be burnt, and you won't have a dinner. Life is all about timing. Now, of course, as we're thinking about time, we all know as well that time can be spent. Now, time isn't a tangible thing that we can touch, but everybody knows that we can waste time and we can spend time. It's frustrating when you put your time and effort into something and at the end of it you're thinking, that was a total waste of my time. Because time can be spent. And you'll know as well that time is a created thing. Just as much as the universe, this world, everything within it, just as much as we are created, time is also a created thing. Because you think of God, the Creator. He is outside of time. You know, time is not necessary for the existence of God any more than we are necessary for the existence of God. God already existed before the creation of us, or time itself. Isaiah chapter 57 and 15 reminds us that God, the high and lofty one, inhabiteth eternity. So He is from everlasting to everlasting. So then, along with all the other aspects of creation, came time. God created time. And the Creator, the one who created this time, He knows the importance of it. And thus, and therefore, He makes us fully aware of just how important our time is, the time that He gives us. In particular, it matters what we do with the time that He has given us. And of course, the reason that we're here tonight, and the reason why we're preaching to you in this meeting tonight, is because there's one thing in particular of vital importance that you must attend to in this life while you have time. And of course, that one vital important thing is that you must think of eternity. You must think of eternity, your eternal destination, while you still have time. That's why we come here and we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that you can come to Christ in time. And so tonight, just for a short while, I want us to think about some of the things in Scripture that God tells us about the time that He has created and why He cares enough to tell us about this time. And the first thing we want to think about in consideration of time, the first thing is things we have in common when we think about time. There are things that we all have in common. And when we read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you'll recognize that it gives a fairly comprehensive list of things that are common to us all. And if you remember that little saying, to everything there is a season, well, you'll remember that that actually comes from the Bible. It comes from this passage of Scripture. And in verse 2 then, it introduces this time. A time to be born and a time to die. Verse 4, a time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Then verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And there's more within that list. And of course, you could spend a whole message just going into the separate aspects of that passage. But the thing to note for us here tonight are the things that are mentioned here. They're common, general things that we all must do. You think of the verse 2 especially, there's a time to be born. And of course, if you're all here, the logical thing is that we all understand that there was a time in our life when we were born. But just as sure as we were born in time, there will come a day when we will have a time to die. Then we've read about a time to weep and a time to laugh. But just as sure as there's times of happiness and laughing, there's also going to be a time for mourning and weeping. Doesn't matter who you are in this meeting or where you're from, if you have been created in time, these things will be common to you and to us all to varying different degrees. But these are not the only things that are common to us all when we think about time. Just as sure as we've been born in time, the thing that is important and vital for us to understand about that moment in time is that we are all born into a certain condition. This one thing we must see, and it's the one thing that we all have in common. This condition that we're all born into, of course, is sin. If we want to understand anything of the importance of time and how we spend it, and especially how we will spend eternity, we have to think, first of all, of this condition that we're all born into, this condition of sin. Now, you ask yourself, in light of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, as we've read it there, you ask yourself, why is it that life is not all about time, times of happiness, laughing and dancing, as it's put there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3? Why is that? Why is it not always a time to live happily and at peace with everyone every single minute of every day? Why is that not possible? Even though we try and we try to make it possible, why is it not? Why can it not be done? It's because there is this sinful nature, this sinful condition within all of us that makes that impossible. There's a secular psychologist and he's called Jordan Peterson. I don't know if you've heard of him before. He's very popular on social media. And I was listening to him by means of research and whatnot, and he was speaking to his pupils at the Cambridge University. Now, some of the things he says, they make sense. He's not a believer. And so, in places, he goes way off theologically, of course. But the subject of the state of the world came up, and the problems within the world. And one of the students asked him, well, what does the future look like to Jordan Peterson? And actually, Jordan Peterson was very positive about the future. But in answer to that question, he says something, and I quote from him here. He says, I do not believe that our fundamental motivation is that of our corrupt will. I think it's wrong factually. I think it's an appalling claim philosophically. And it's a radically destructive claim ethically. A terribly demoralizing claim. I've seen many people hurt by that claim, hurt to the deep recesses of their soul. So clearly he doesn't agree with the biblical understanding of total depravity and how we are born with this condition of sin, this inclination towards sin. So then what is Jordan Peterson's kind of answer to this, the world becoming a better place? Well, He goes on immediately after and he says, well, it depends what you choose to do. And he gives some examples of what you might choose to do. Extend your hand to your enemy to the degree you're capable of doing that. Or just do your best not to lie and see what happens. Now you listen to him there and you think, well, he's almost there. You might say they're biblical concepts. We should love our enemies as well as our neighbors. We should do our best not to lie, of course, thou shalt not bear false witness. But he's totally missed the mark. Because you think about it, for thousands of years, people have been trying to do just that, trying to do their best. But they've failed. You see, then there's no hope in it. Why? Because the fundamental motivation in man is corrupt. We are born into a condition of sin. If you get what I'm saying, I used Jordan Peterson's thinking as an example because he's voicing the thoughts, really, of most people in the world today. When you present sin to them and the gospel, they say to you, well, I don't like that you're telling me that at the root of my being I'm a sinner. I am a good person. I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm just going to see what happens. And I want to tell you in love tonight, if you spend your time in this earth just doing the best that you can do to the degree that you're capable of doing that, then what will happen? Well, the Bible's clear. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and what happened? Death by sin. The wages of sin is death. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you come to the end of your time here on earth, and we'll deal with that time a little later in the message, but if you come to that time, having only done the best that you can do to the degree that you're capable of doing it, then you've neglected the only one who has died for you to save you from your sinful nature. You've ignored the problem and therefore you've ignored the remedy. You've relied on the inadequate. Only Jesus Christ is capable of living the good life that you are seeking for. And that's why we care enough to tell you that you are a sinner. You know, Jordan Peterson is right. When we preach that men and women are sinners at their core, it does hurt to the deep recesses of their soul. But you know, you think of your own body, and you think of a sickness that is growing within your body. When is it that you go to seek the remedy? It's when the pain starts coming. You know, something can be growing within you and you have no idea. It's not until the pang or the pain comes that you therefore go and seek out the physician, the doctor, for the remedy. And so this is why we tell men and women that they're sinners. It's so that you are ready at the end of your life, not just to say, well, I did my best. You know, that's good, and I hope you do the best with the time that God has given to you. But you know, we preach Christ and we preach about sin so that at the end you can put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can work true eternal goodness in your life. And so, born into this world, into this scene of time, we are born into it with this sin issue. We must see that. And while God loves you today, and he has given you the health and strength to enjoy today, even the fact that you're here, we must recognize that he has given you that much. Yet he hates the sin. And you know, just as a just judge, we would expect him to punish crime. So we must expect our perfect God to punish our sins also. That's why simply doing the best that you can to the degree that you're capable is not enough. It may be a good concept, but it's not enough to deal with the sin. You must seek Jesus Christ. And that leads us into our second point in consideration of time. Secondly, we have to note that God stepped into time to save us. Yes, we are sinners. Our sin has separated us from God. But in Romans chapter 5 and the verse 6, it says there, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, God could have left us to our sin and left us wandering around in our own self-deceit, our own self-interest, walking into a lost eternity forever. He could have left us in that state, but he didn't. Rather, he stepped into time and he made a way, not just for his justice to be met, but also for the sinner to be set free from his sin. How did that happen? Well, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came into time. The sin that was yours, he took it upon the cross, took it upon himself. The punishment that was yours, he took it upon himself. The life that you seek, the good life that you seek in righteousness, is in Jesus Christ. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and that's you. And we're all familiar with the idea of a substitute. If you've ever watched or played any kind of sport, you'll know what a substitute is. Well, Jesus Christ became our substitute. When we could not meet the perfect standards of God in our own efforts, Jesus Christ stepped into time to meet those standards on our behalf. He became our substitute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul makes this statement. For he hath made him, that is, God hath made Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see what Paul is saying there in that verse? The sin that we all need to be set free from, and the righteousness that we all seek to live and attain to, is found in Jesus Christ. By his sacrifice, then, we are set free. And you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that he was buried, or how that he died, how that he was buried, how that he rose again. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Because he lives, we live also. The sin issue is dealt with in our substitute in Christ. The life that we need is in Jesus Christ. So we all have this one thing in common. Just as we recap, we're all born into this world, in this scene of time, into sin. And then, in due time, Jesus Christ came to save us from that sin. But another important thing that God wants us to think about when we think about time is that the unescapable truth that time is limited. Time is limited. You know how it is when you're younger. You think you've got all the time in the world. Then you begin to get a little bit older and you start to realize that time is just flying by, and then you begin to wonder, where has all the years gone? And I know some of you maybe have experienced that more than others, but isn't it true? Time flies. And the Bible gives us a very good illustration of just that. In the book of James, James says, "For what is your life? It's even as a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." So our lives are just like a vapor. And I'm sure you know what a vapor looks like, what steam looks like. It's there one moment, and then the next moment it's gone. And that can be very much like our lives. Now, the point in reminding you that time is short and limited isn't to be all doom and gloom about it. To say that our time is limited isn't so that we can all say, well, what's the point in caring then? Sure, time is running out anyway. That's not the point. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Because life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away, means that you should definitely care with the short time that you have. You should care what you do with your life. You should care and live a life that matters and that has value. Do what you can with the time that God has given you. But most importantly, again, the most important thing that you can decide to do with your time, you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ while you still are in time. In light of time running out, in light of time being limited, this is the most important thing for you tonight, is to be ready for when that happens. Remember the one who took the punishment of your sin on the cross so that you might be forgiven. Now is the time for you to put your trust and your faith in him. Paul tells us those well-known words in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 2, where he says there, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Why is now the accepted time? If I was to ask you that question, why does he say now is the accepted time? Well, it's because this time that we as created beings are so accustomed to, it's going to give way to an eternity. And in a very real sense, when you reach eternity, your time to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has run out. We said in our introduction that timing is everything in life. There's an appointed time for you to start work, an appointed time for you to go to school, and there's even consequences if you don't meet those standards. There's a time agreed on when you meet up with your friends. This world operates around this concept of time. Well, in regards to the salvation of your soul, again, timing is everything. And we're reminded in God's word that now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. So I ask you tonight, if you're listening to this message, have you ever taken the time out of the busyness of life to think about these things? Have you ever taken the time to think about your sin and how it separates you from God? Have you ever taken the time to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, that He sent into this world to die on the cross for your sin? And have you ever taken the time to think over the fact that this life is not forever? You know, some people live like it is. But the reality is, if there's a time to be born, there is a time to die. Now is the day of salvation, therefore. You know, Paul the Apostle, who wrote those words, now is the accepted time, he didn't just write those words and not follow them through or think about them himself. Of course, he accepted Christ in time. But listen to what Paul says then, because of that truth, listen to what Paul says at the end of his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 6, Paul says this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." So here we have in this verse, Paul here obviously is coming to a stage in his life when he says that the time of my departure is at hand. So what does he mean there? Well, of course, that's just a nice way to put that he recognizes he's going to die. He's ready to die. But he wasn't put off by that thought at all. It wasn't all doom and gloom for Paul when he thought about dying. No, but it's at the same time when he says that my time of my departure is at hand, he says, I'm ready. I'm ready for that. In fact, in another place, Paul also says that he actually had a desire to depart and to be with Jesus Christ, his Savior, which is far better. That's the peace. That's the hope that the believer has when you know with all certainty that Christ has saved you in time. Your sins are forgiven. You have Christ within you. There's a hymn that describes the thoughts of a believer when thinking about all that we've said here already tonight. And it's the hymn, In Christ Alone. I'm sure most of you will know it. But one of the verses goes like this, that we as believers, we have no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. There's the confidence and the hope of the believer who comes to Christ in time, while he still has time. And so I ask you the question tonight, will this then be your confidence throughout life? That when the time of your departure is at hand, you're ready, because you've come to Christ in time. But you know, the verse that I read there from that chorus or that hymn, In Christ Alone, it raises something that I would like to deal with in my concluding point. And that is, fourthly, that there's a time for Christ to return. There's a time for Christ to return. You'll see at the end of that chorus there, it says, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. And he's speaking of Jesus Christ. Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Can I ask you please to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. As we think of the Lord's return, we must turn to Matthew chapter 24. And if you turn to verse 42... I know at the end of a message you're probably getting tired, and a long reading will probably do more to help put you over altogether. But do follow with me, please, as we read from Matthew chapter 24, and we read a few verses. Verse 42, This is Jesus Christ, of course, speaking. And he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Then if you turn over to the next chapter, to Matthew chapter 25, and you look at the verse 6, and this is the parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise. And it says in verse 6, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready," note those words because that's the whole point of this parable, "they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch therefore, be ye also ready. And we've been talking about being ready for that time when you're going to die. But I want to put to you tonight, are you ready even if that time never comes? Even if you never reach that point of death, are you ready? What do I mean? Well, quite simply, Christ will return. Christ is coming again. Now, we don't know the time, we don't know the day or the hour. That's clear from Scripture. But he is coming, we know that. And he may well come before we die. And therefore, the encouragement is, watch, be ready for when he comes. Now, I understand this is a difficult concept to get our heads around. We live in this material world. Concept of time surrounds us. We make plans. We go to work, we have our hobbies, we eat, we sleep, and generally just get on with life, spending our time. And we get so used to this concept of having time that we forget that it's coming to an end. Not only when we die, but Christ is coming again. And with that, the time to come to Christ is coming to an end. Now, for those who are ready, that's going to be a great day. When we will glorify Christ, the one who has saved us from our sin, we're going to see him and we'll welcome him. The challenge is for us, of course, will we be busy about being busy for him, living a life that is pleasing to him when he comes? But I trust we will. But if you're not ready, what will happen to you when the time comes for Christ to return? Look back at our parable in Matthew chapter 25. And the verse 10, when the bridegroom had received those who were ready, Christ tells us there that the door was shut. The door was shut. Just like in the days of Noah when the judgment fell, the believers were safe inside the ark. Noah and his family remained there safe, but the door was shut, and judgment fell upon those outside of the ark. What's this telling us then? If people don't prepare for the coming of Christ, if they don't heed the warnings of coming judgment, then when that time comes, then their time will be up. The judgment will have come and all hope gone with it. That's a sobering thought tonight. You know, I don't think that you can help but feel pity on the five foolish virgins. All of a sudden, they realize their predicament. They're frantically running around looking for oil. But it's too late. There was no shortage of oil. Okay, the five foolish virgins could have gone and got oil. There was no shortage of oil. There was no shortage of knowledge that the bridegroom was going to come. They could have been well prepared. But they weren't. They were just not ready. What must it be then for them to hear and for those to hear those final devastating words come from Christ? I know you not. ultimately your time is up. Some of the saddest statements of Christ in the scripture, I know you not. And I hope and pray that you never need hear those final words of judgment said to you. You know, I'm standing here preaching tonight, and the truth of the matter is that I don't know all of you here. I may recognize some faces, but I don't know you. I don't know your past, your hobbies. I don't know where you've come from or where you're going. But I do know this. We all have this in common, and it is that we have time. You know, if you're in this meeting tonight or if you're listening to this online, you can thank God that you have time. You're still in time. How will you spend your time then is the question. Because I hope that you've seen tonight that in life, timing is everything. I encourage you tonight to not find time for everything else under the sun and then neglect the only thing that you will take into eternity with you, your own soul. Timing is everything. Therefore, take time today to think about your sin. Take time today to think about Jesus Christ, the only one who can save your soul and the one who is coming again. And therefore, the plea from this pulpit once more is be ready. Be ready. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to save me. He came to save you. And therefore, it is time. It is time for you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not already done so, again, the encouragement is that you will and that you will seek him in time. Can I thank you once again for your attention? Just in closing, we'll sing another hymn. I recognize that we're a little bit early, but I was once told exiting a meeting where I was early before, and he said, you know, people will complain if you're late, but they're not going to complain if you're early. But the hymn number 230, really reiterating what we've already been preaching about tonight. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, and therefore the encouragement is be in time. So once again, stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you once again for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Lord, yet as those who have received Christ and have received that benefit of sins forgiven, Lord, we do recognize that there are those still outside of Christ, and we once again plead before the throne of grace for their souls. And Lord, we pray that even through what has been preached tonight, Lord, that you would stir up the soul of the sinner, and Lord, that they would indeed be in time, that they would be ready, not only for death, but Lord, may they be ready for Christ's return, not only be ready for it, but long for it. And Lord, we as believers, we pray that you would help us to live those lives who are living in light of eternity, living in light of Christ's return. And therefore, let us be watchful. Help us to be busy about our Father's business while we still have time. And Lord, we pray that your grace would go with us, go before us. We once again pray for the members here. We ask for those especially who mourn and those who suffer. Lord, continue to draw alongside them. Be their comforter and be their guide through the difficult times. Be with them, this people throughout the week. Lord, keep them safe. And may all be done again in our lives for your honor and for your glory. In your precious Son's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.